Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to episode 211 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis.
My name's Tom Jordan.
So Bournemouth played on Sunday. It wasn't a Super Saturday, but it was a Super Sunday. Well, up until the 90th minute it was when Villa equalised. But look, a point against a team chasing maybe a Champions League spot, Tom. I think it was a match that left us feeling disappointed, which I suppose is a good thing to feel.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? I think everyone really would have taken a point before the game, and it is a good point, I think, when you reflect. But yeah, I think similarly to Brentford away, where you would have taken a point, when it's late, I think I said it after the game, but if we had conceded that goal maybe 10 minutes earlier, we wouldn't have been as deflated. But listen, it's still a good point, and the main thing was a really, really good performance again.
Me and you will get stuck into it surely then, but first, the views outside the Vitality Stadium. Ben Phillips was on the fan cams.
Right, outside Dean Court, Bournemouth had drawn 2-0 with Aston Villa in what I think was a good point. Paul?
Thoughts? It was a really good game. I thought it was very, very entertaining. I thought that we played really well. I thought we could have, maybe should have won it. I mean, yeah. Solanke had that sort of shot within about 4 yards of the goal, which Martinez saved really well, but...
Yeah,
I think we'll take the point before the game. Now we've seen the game, probably a bit disappointed with the point.
Yeah, but then you just got to remember that I know Aston Villa aren't as good away from home, but that they are a team that's, I think, still in the top four. But yeah, I think it's something that we can kick on for. So
yeah.
If you were to give a standout performer from the game?
It's a couple. I think Cook and Christie in midfield both were absolutely brilliant today. The little flicks that Cook was doing just out of this world, you know.
Yeah.
And Christie's long switches of the ball were really, really pivotal too. So I can't choose between the two of those, but it'll be one of those two.
That's impressive as well, because obviously we were worrying about our midfield depth, and now obviously Cook and Christie, two players that maybe we didn't think would be playing this season, are doing really well. So I think that's a positive.
It is.
And a positive day. So Paul, thank you.
Okay.
Jim.
That's it, you're right, mate.
Oh, come on, yeah. So what do you make of it?
Yeah, good game. Should have been 4 out of 5, I reckon. Yeah. Today it was, feels more like a lose than a draw to me. Refreshing. Nice to see. Love it.
It's good.
Yeah.
Man of the match?
Man of the match for me. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, Semenyo.
Yeah, unreal.
Up there. Yeah, no,
such
he's
good
class.
Player.
He is refreshing up the wing there. Yeah. He's really good. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, looking good.
Cool. Thank you. Ollie?
Thank you very much, Ollie.
Come on, mate. Yeah, I'm happy with that. It, it, you,
it
It's weird because it feels like a loss because of the late goal. How we played our socks off today. And I think overall we were probably the best side. Yeah. I think we deserved the win. I don't think Villa deserved anything from that game, and I don't think Watkins deserved the goal either, honestly. I think he was in Zabani's pocket all game.
Zabani was very good.
Yeah, I mean, Zabani was top class today. He was he's looking like the defender that we all know he can be. But I think we're Villa's bogey team, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Our record going into this game, I think we haven't lost at home to them since 2015.
And so that was the first Premier League game of the season that we'd ever played. Yeah, I'm very pleased with the results. So going into Palace and United, how many points do you think we could or should get?
I mean, Palace, they just drew 1-1 to West Ham. I don't think they're in very good form at the moment, are they?
Well, they lost to Luton last week, so not the best form, no.
No, I mean, I think last season we were absolutely dreadful against them both times, home and away. So I think as long as we don't bring that into this season, I think we could 100% get a result. I think at the moment we're looking like the better team than them.
Yeah.
You know, they've got some good players, but so do we. You know, it'll be nice to see Jefferson Lerma back.
Yeah.
Though, wish he was still here.
Imagine. Would he start though? That's the thing, because the midfield's been so good. I don't know if he would.
They got that Franca fella from Brazil, didn't they?
Mm.
Is he injured still?
I'm not too sure. He hasn't played too much, but he's a decent player.
Yeah, he's been talked up quite a bit. I think overall, I can't wait to get our injured players back at least.
Yeah.
It was nice to see them all in their little box up where the pundits usually be. It's weird to have a Sunday at 2 p.m. and it not be televised.
Yeah, I know. Sky Sports, come on, do your jobs.
Honestly. Yeah, buck your ideas up.
Perfect. Ollie, cheers, mate. Andy, welcome on.
How are you doing? All right?
Yeah, I'm very happy with how we were. So, I was saying this earlier, so last season, if we had dropped points near the end of the game, we would be deflated. But I feel like we've kind of changed in the way that we play. And
I think part of that is because it was an enjoyable game as well. Sometimes you throw away a goal late on and it's been boring and it's been coming for ages. That was an entertaining match. We're still trying to win it up until the 95th minute. And I don't think you can take anything away from the players for that. I think it's the whole experience in there is an enjoyable experience at the moment because we're positive. I mean, Villa are a good side. Some of the football they played is nice to watch. Watkins is obviously a really, really sharp centre forward. It was just an enjoyable game of football. And I feel that, points about the right result.
Yeah, so next few games, do you think we can beat United? Palace
are gettable, definitely. I'm slightly disappointed they got back into it today. I thought they might have lost that and then been really needed something Wednesday night. But I think they're gettable. Looking forward to that one. And United, I'm stepping all the way up there, so I hope we get something next Saturday. Again, it'll be one of those matches where you could see it being two each. Equally, you could see them perhaps having a little bit too much for us in front of the home crowd. But as long as we go out there and have a go, and keep pushing on, keep with the attacking substitutions, then I'm confident that we'll at least compete in the game.
I think that's a good analysis for everything at the moment.
Cool. All right.
Andy, thank
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, take it easy.
Cheers.
So, tis the season for festive football. And the best way to watch it, is down at your local Green King Sports pub. Of course, after all, Christmas is a time to catch up with friends, both old and new. Cheers, buddy. So get the team together to your local for your refreshing pints, delicious food, and also live action of every Christmas cracker.
Like what you did there, Sam. Every fixture from TNT, Sky and Amazon.
Which is important.
It is important, and it's live at every Green King Sport pub. That means wall-to-wall action on a huge HD screen. So head to your local Green King, watch every winning goal, top bins, volley and dodgy VAR decision. They'll be a few. An atmosphere worth sharing is at your Green King Sport pub.
Yeah, absolutely. But dodging VAR, I love VAR after Sunday. But also download the Green King Sport app as well, and you'll receive 10% off drinks every single time there's sport on the telly. And in terms of Amazon, we've got a couple of games this month, remember. We've got Crystal Palace coming up, and then Fulham on Boxing Day as well. I love having my Amazon Prime subscription just for that.
Absolutely.
Happy days. Let's check on the league table then. This is where we're at the moment. And Tom, what is nice to see is that there's a bit of a cushion now, a 6-point cushion between us and Everton. By the way, congratulations to Everton, who really good win for them. Burnley registered their first win of the season, and managerial changes are afoot at Bramall Lane, which is not exactly surprising, is it? However, 13 points. Could have been 15.
Yeah, could have, should have. But, there's loads of things that could be. I mean, you just look at if you ended every game on 89 minutes, we would be, I think, 12 quite comfortably. I think of Brentford,
yeah,
2 points there.
Wolves, was that right?
Wolves would have been a point, and obviously at the weekend. So, yes, an extra 5 points we could have. So, yeah, that's something we need to look at a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, positionally, we're still sat there in 16th, but points-wise, that was a big point. And results went pretty well for us, although, you know, Fulham were leading really late on, and they obviously lost the game at Anfield, which was a big boost for us. As you said, mate, losing to Everton, where I thought they looked really poor, actually. So, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there slowly, mate. But for me, it's the performance levels. We're not skanking the odd point. We are creating so many chances. And it's just, yeah, just really, really good to see.
I don't think me and you really echoed it so much publicly via this podcast. Or it could be a podcast, by the amount of conversations we've had at our local Green Kings, where the fans go.
Yeah.
But I was worried that this thing wasn't working out with Andoni. And I was really worried. And we sort of tried to stay to be positive, not saying we should be happy clappy. But I did feel as though there were glimpses, but it was the odd glimpse. But then players were making single mistakes and we were putting in some turgid performances. But it's fair to say the last few games have changed my mind. And there have been so many tweets. I was reading your tweets. Kirk from Terry's Red Army, Alex Deutsch, a number of people. And you said something about, you know what, I'm not carving my eyes out anymore watching the game. I'm actually watching some really entertaining stuff. But the performance levels are so much better.
Yeah, and I think, listen, we didn't win at the weekend. You know, we didn't win the game. But everyone's so delighted because, of course, we could have drawn last season against Villa. I mean, obviously, we beat them under Parker. Obviously, they're a completely different team. But you can get a point at home to anyone in the league, but it's a way of doing it. And we're not just sat... You'd think... Oh, I think the wider public would say, if Bournemouth get a draw against Villa, what's it going to be like? Oh, Villa missed loads of chances and Bournemouth managed to scrap it out. It's not like that. It's not like that. We're going toe-to-toe. We're fourth in the league. We're creating more chances. We're the better team. And they're relieved to get out of there with a draw. And I think at the start of the season, I thought, yeah, we've got to be patient. It's ridiculous not to be. Trying to change the whole style with a new manager who's on his own and got any of his own kind of coach staff with him. And then I remember it being at Goodison and Everton. I thought, nah, this is bad. This looks really bad. It was a really poor performance. And then we had the Wolves one where, you know, Cookie gets sent off and you think we concede late and you think, this just ain't happening, is it? And then win against Burnley, where I didn't think we were brilliant, but he just ticked it off.
And then
I think since then we've just grown and grown, and a few little bits he's probably been forced into in terms of injuries where he's had to go, I'll have to try Christie in the A. We'll talk about that more, I'm sure. And little bits and bobs, and it's just clicking again, mate. So, yeah, really, really pleased that we've not I've been forced to click a panic button because we managed to turn some of the performances into results, and it's probably helped the little buffer and teams really struggling, and obviously the Everton points deduction and stuff, and it's allowed us to be a bit patient.
It's important now because the players actually believe it works, because for a time I'm sure there must have been some nervousness in amongst them.
Yes.
Hang on a sec, this style isn't working at all, but
that was my concern. Is I did feel like, look, he's clearly a good coach, we've clearly got to give him time. You know, let's see what happens. But I always thought, but if the players aren't believing it, then what can we do? There's only so much you can do when that's the situation. But what I was seeing was, no, there's no way these players ain't playing for him.
No.
They're working their socks off here. And yeah, what I said about kind of last season, carving me out, that was not supposed to be kind of, wasn't trying to be harsh to or anything like that. Because as we keep saying, you know, we're a Premier League club because of his work. And he would probably say, that's what I had to do to get the job done. And it worked. So, you know, massive thanks for that always. But it was so hard to watch. And I'd always say, you know, if we go down, whatever league we're in, we're going to be there. I'm going to be there watching. You know, it doesn't really matter in that sense. I'm still going to go. Mm. So I just want to see, with the players we've got, I don't feel like we need to be able to sit back and try and counter the team. I think we've got some good players. And I think we've got players, offensively, that can cause teams problems. So why don't we just have a go?
Yeah.
And we've seen now that doing that is now kind of, right, we do that and it works because we're getting the points.
Yeah, I agree.
So, it's just, I just love that. I think I said it on our Telegram page where I do the kind of player ratings and stuff for the monthlies. I said on there that's the difference. Is last season, I remember looking at the time going, is it a bit too early to go down for a pint? Mm. Now, the 90 minutes just flying by.
It does, yeah.
Because it's so good to watch. And I almost don't even want to go down from my superstitial pint, but I managed it.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did. We managed to hook up with some excellent Villa content creators before the game. Simon Lyons from Villa on Tour. I watched their vlog, by the way. the way that Max does his vlogs is so good. Yeah, like, somehow he manages to squeeze everything into like 12, 13 minute package, whereas ours, I don't know why, but it takes me like twice as long to get everything in. And maybe I should just be a little bit more cutthroat on what certain people say in the tent before the game. Richard Jackson, talking about you. Mm. I'm speaking about content creators because I'm trying to rack my brains and think of a QPR one because we drew them in the FA Cup. That was just before the game, like about 1:15.
Yeah.
Can't think of any. Check your WhatsApp. Have you got anyone on your WhatsApp that might be able to give it a
call? I don't know. Who could be getting QPR? Because they're not. Yeah, there's not a lot about QPR, is there? No, I mean, really. Actually. Right. So there was a lot of clubs, weren't there, with FA Cup thinking, we need a big scalp.
Yeah.
They're just desperate for a big name in the draw. Mm. And you know, we're not like that anymore because we're Premier League. But I tell you what, for YouTube and for content purposes, we needed a big name. We got the biggest.
Go on.
James Alcott.
Oh, yeah.
QPR.
I forgot, yes. James Alcott. He's come on the channel before. I've called him James Corden. He's never let me forget that.
No. Don't blame him. But
can we go to that event on...
No, of course. Go to the event.
He's not going to talk to me.
No,
but
he's not.
But
Steve Cookie as well. Steve Cook.
Yeah.
And Asmir Begovic. That'd be a nice one.
Mark Pugh.
Oh, Pughy?
Yeah.
Oh, he was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Forgot he had a little spell there. A few little links.
But in terms of QPR, though, mate, there's... They've got similarities with us in some ways, haven't they?
Yes, they have now. They've also got a 41-year-old Spanish manager who's playing progressive attacking football. And they've gone from Gareth Ainsworth, where they literally have like 20% of the ball.
So they've gone from a Gary?
Potentially. Yes, they have. Gareth, yeah. They've gone from a Gary to a Spanish 41-year-old who plays attacking and exciting football. And now they're suddenly having all the ball and getting some good results as well. So that'll be an interesting one. Wasn't the draw I wanted... My brother was pretty happy because he lives up there, so we might be able to go to the game, hopefully. So, yeah, it was, is what it is. I would have liked the home trip. But, you know, QPR away, we've had some good results there not too long ago. So, yeah, we'll be able to rotate a little bit and see what happens. But, yeah, as I say, Steve Cook, and he was just guiding one of the vitality.
Yeah,
He's fit and available for that because I know he's had a knock. So, yeah. Hopefully him. And I know Lucy in particular was very happy that Asmir Begovic
goal.
She's keen. She's quite nice on the eye, anyway, Asmir.
Yeah, she is. In terms of the draw, some people were happy, some people weren't happy. What about the team lineups, Tom? I suppose you were happy because you got it bang on.
I did.
11 out of 11, although it's probably one of the easier ones this season. And the fact that it's becoming easy to predict, it seems to correlate with us playing some really nice football. He's sort of found his rhythm. He's found his men by the looks of it.
But what that would also mean is it's going to be really, really difficult for him now because he won't want to change anything, but we've got the busy schedule now. I don't mean us personally. I just mean this is the time where you have all the games and you obviously play Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, all these sort of stuff. So he's going to have to use the squad. But at the moment, he probably feels like he can't change too much. Obviously, we knew Kirkes really was going to come in for Kelly. So, yeah, I mean, I did get it bang on, but I thought it was pretty obvious for them. I got 9, I believe. I did call the Tielemans would come in for the suspended Kamara, but I didn't expect Zaniolo to play instead of Diaby, and I didn't expect them to bring Carlos in and take out Cash. And I probably ain't the right person to question Unai Emery's tactics, right? But hear me out. He got it wrong. Best centre-back is Konza. He's their best centre-back by a mile. And for some reason, look, we don't know the ins and outs, maybe Cash had a knock. But for some reason, he thought he would be better to move him the right-back. And Konza, who I think has rightly got the England squad lately, is their best centre-back, as I say. Superb. He got tore apart by Semenyo on that side. And I think he got that wrong. I think he was thinking Cash is more attacking. I need to keep Konza there, but Konza couldn't cope with him. And Zaniolo, by the way, this is only off one game, but obviously we gave him a few little boos because he rejected us. He was hopeless.
Yeah, I thought he was awful.
I thought he was really terrible.
It was Watkins did start. And,
yes,
of course. If it wasn't, it would have been, Duran up front.
Yeah.
Been hungry like the wolf to score. So, by the way, anyone who's watched the vlog, the opening scenes of the vlog. Did you see the bloke
having a slap?
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't even... Yeah. You know what? I sort of did realise he was doing it as I was filming. I was turning the camera around. You see him doing up his flies. I'm so sorry if that was you. but yeah, loads of people commented. We got a tweet about it as well. But anyway, soon after that, it was into our seats. I was in the East Stand for this one, mate. And you know what? It's a weird old row. So you got the camera gantry. Just beneath that, you got a couple of rows of like press seats where they got the screens and stuff. And then there's like one row of seats in front of that. And then there's an accessible platform. I was in this one row that all had benches. So
yeah, I was looking at the board thing and you've got some sort of corporate figure.
Yeah, it was
great. Reckon you've, you know, there's questions will be asked. I think you've had a few words there and you've managed to sneak yourself in somehow there.
Not the case.
Because honestly, Sam ain't got any points. He just gets in. Just give corporate. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but it did look a bit like that, didn't it? When I looked at the vlog, I thought, but it, yeah, because like he's benching, it looks like a mini corporate, even though obviously it isn't. But good view there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just, you know, below the TV cameras pretty much. So yeah, had a superb view, and you can see a good view of the Villa fans for where you are. And also, I thought this is the way to gauge how loud we really are. I was right on the halfway line. Sorry. So sometimes when I'm in the North Stand, you feel as though it's so loud. And everyone else is like, North Stand was quiet today. It was loud. And also the other stands were joining in as well, the Ted MacDougall. And there was one stage you see in the vlog where every fan in the stadium was singing VAR.
Yeah.
Debacle, which we'll obviously talk about.
Yes. There was a moment as well, which would say when you see it on some of the highlights stuff where Christie does that. Yeah. You know that everyone loves that. And everyone just got up and roared. Yeah. Ryan Cristiano. I've never doubted
it. Eve, well, I mean, where do you even begin? The intensity from us, I thought, from the off, was absolutely super. I think even early doors, we had a shot from Tavernier that just went right of the post. Yeah. I think that was absolutely superb. I mean, what we'll do, whilst we're actually talking, we'll watch the action.
Oh, love it.
How about that?
How
about that? So we can, you know, we can discuss exactly what happens like during the main highlights package. And Cliver,
really good in that
playing it to the right hand side where Tavernier cuts it on his left as a shot.
Yeah.
Doesn't really trouble the keeper, but that set the tone for what was to come. And we certainly had this kind of balance on the right flank, on the left flank as well.
Yeah.
Tavernier was a nuisance, but Semenyo as well, mate.
Oh my
goodness me. He absolutely ran them ragged.
He did.
He was bullish. He was physical.
Yeah.
He did the odd shirt tug every now and then. Some people say maybe he was lucky to stay on the pitch.
He was.
Possibly was.
But yeah, he's a nuisance, wasn't he?
What a handful. And the fact that every time the Villa fans saw that he was on the ball, they booed him, says it all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I just wanted to put, because we're going to go into, obviously, your Christie's, Semenyo's and that, and the performances they had. I thought it was quite evident on that clip, actually, that first clip we just watched, the Tavernier shot. There's a couple of players that probably don't get the credit that are really involved here. So, obviously, we win the ball back, but Kluivert's intelligence here, where he is, in that 10 role, the pocket he's picked up. And then the only reason Tavernier can cut in and have a shot here is because you watch Adam Smith.
He does the overlap.
And people were always, myself included, maybe a little bit concerned that with Aaron's out, that would Smithy have the... And that, honestly, that always goes under the radar when you then that overlap. Mm-hmm. But that allows Tav to come in. And I think they were just in that little clip there that I just noticed. I thought that probably won't get talked about enough, Smithy's role. Because I think as much as Aaron's is our first choice right back, we're all concerned when he went out. And at the moment, I think the biggest compliment to Adam Smith is we're not missing Aaron's because Smith is playing really, really well. But yeah, as you said, Semenyo, constant nuisance for him, mate. Was lucky to stay on the pitch, which I'm sure we'll get on to. But yeah, he was brilliant. I think I'm just going to quickly look now because I've got it on my phone. Yeah. Jacob Tanswell, obviously it was the Jacob Tanswell derby.
Yeah.
And he made a point. The Bournemouth's angle of attack was so lopsided it smacked of a plan. 75.86% came down Konza's side, but just 3.45 coming down the other. So like I said about Emery, and maybe got it wrong there, is we focused on that side. We were going to Semenyo every time. We knew the Kerkez could get forward as well, and I think they really struggled to cope with that. And you saw it when they had to take Konza, who's, like, as I mentioned, probably their best defender. They took him off to try and change bits because we were causing so many problems down that
That's side. Really interesting you say. Yeah. I'll post that on screen in a minute. But one thing I sort of thought to myself, I sort of took myself out of the situation, I was thinking, if I was a neutral and I was sat at home or in the crowd watching this, I would be loving it.
Yeah.
Because it was so entertaining. I mean, Villa were getting forward. There was a save that Neto made from a shot from distance outside the post. Not sure if it's going in though.
I think it might have been going wide, but he had to deal with it.
But, you know, he did what he had to do. But then we were getting up the other end as well. It was so, so open. We're going to check out some stats, actually, whilst we're talking. And this is the XG forward against minute by minute. And, well, you can see that we absolutely dominated at all times. When you see this chart as well, it absolutely emphasises it as well. Really, really high XG. And we were getting forward at will, and we were getting shots on goal. I mean, in the first half alone, I can count tons of them, but we were shooting inside the box, we were shooting outside of the box, and the probability of a win, as you can see, 72% versus Aston Villa's 12%. But positionally, look at this.
Yeah.
left-hand side, as you said,
yeah.
The darker the area, the more danger is being created. So, yeah, Jacob's absolutely right. But Villa, all coming down the central spine of the pitch, yes. I noticed. And then you'll see some passing networks in a minute that pretty much will exemplify this with, you know, Senesi to Kirk and then Kirk has, look how advanced a Kirk has is getting. Whereas Villa, playing through the central core of the pitch, but then spreading out as they get further up the pitch as well. But really, really absorbing game. It was end to end, and it's what we promised. And it wasn't long, Tom. It wasn't long before we scored our first goal.
Lovely.
What a goal it was.
Great goal. Ryan Christie getting his numbers as he always does. Lovely little assist for him. Really pleased for him.
He actually started off that move as well.
Yeah, and then it kind of looked like it was going to break down, and then he picked out the pass, didn't he? The pass is perfect, really, in the weight of it. But yeah, I think it was down the left-hand side first.
Yeah, he played the ball out. He switched it across the pitch.
Yeah. And, Semenya's just driving at him, causing him so many problems as he does all game. They kind of cock up a little bit, but it's right. Christie's kind of that press and that front foot nature of him. The ball's perfect. And I don't know what it is about Semenya at the moment. When he gets, I just think he's going to score.
Yeah.
His finishing is... You could see why he's played a lot of his football as a nine, because he can finish. He really can. I mean, even the ones he missed are normally because of a good save rather than him fluffing his lines. But yeah, really, really good finish. And he is, I'll tell you what, I keep saying it, but how surely Garner have won the African Cup.
Oh yeah, that's what I was thinking. And you know what? Like that first move we were talking about, credit to Milos Kirk as well for keep on making his run, because it takes a couple of defenders out of action as well, which sort of enables Semenya to go across to the right-hand side whilst it didn't particularly come off.
Yeah.
Christie was just really good at winning the ball back. And then, and a composed finish, really composed. He didn't slash at it. He waited and absolutely delighted for him. What's that, his third goal now in the Premier League?
Something like that. But it's just nice. Obviously, we'll talk later when obviously Dom gets his goal. But we've said this before. It's nice that we're popping up in other areas. You know, we're not playing Billing at the moment. Mm-hmm. But you feel like there's goals. There's goals around that team because of the way we're playing, and Semenya coming in off that left side is. I know he's trialled a few times the old Semenya on Tav on the opposite flanks, but I think it's working better with Semenya coming inside, isn't it? Because I was kind of thinking, would he play Tav just to help Kirkez a little bit? But he didn't, and I think it worked. And Semenya just after his goal had another chance to either Martinez stayed strong for, but he was just causing problems all day long. Like,
that was when the ball was switched from Christie, of course, from right to left. And the amount of space that he had. Yeah.
Well, Connors is a centre-back, playing right back.
So why on earth didn't they make changes?
Don't know.
Early doors, because he was taking a pop. But then, I suppose, because obviously they do score, you know, fairly soon after that.
Yeah.
If it's one all half-time, you'd think, well, actually, we're holding them.
Yeah, and their goal was a frustrating one because everyone around me would have heard it. I was screaming, don't let him inside. He's going to go inside. He's going to go inside. He's going to go inside. And that's what he did. And it was a shame. Bailey takes it really, really well. It's a really good strike. Kirkus needs to do a bit better there, for sure. We know Kirkus, and it's quite easy to say it, but maybe Kelly deals with that better.
What's the thing to do? Show him the line a little bit?
You've got to show him the line, particularly because he's so left foot, because he's not going to want to go down that side and put a right foot across it.
I mean, but that said, there are enough bodies in
there.
You'd think, someone's going to get in the way. But
yeah, so very, very good finish. And I don't want to criticise Kirkus too much on that, because we've seen it. I thought we had a brilliant game, literally apart from that moment, to be honest. We'll talk about it later, but maybe Kelly stops that cross, but I don't think Kelly potentially does what Kirkus does for our second goal. So, yeah, it's frustrating, and Bailey takes it really well, but he's so obviously left-footed that it's a real, real shame that we let him in.
I've actually got feed. We're going to put this bit on screen. We can do that. Tom Jordan there on TV, as if you haven't seen enough of him on your screen.
I wish you could see me now if you don't let him inside. But no, it's like, but to be fair, he's still got to do a lot there. I mean, if Bailey just sliced over the bar, no one really talked about Kirk, because there's one of them things. And then it felt like they'd got ahead straight away.
Yeah, that's right. The goal was put in by
Diego Carlos.
That's right. Mm. But it wasn't actually him that was offside. That's right. And I mean, that did concern me. That did concern me when they went 2-1. Because I just thought, this is going to pan out how it didn't want it to. Alas, we were saved by VAR. Took too long again. Took way too long, mate. Perhaps. I mean, what was it? Like, over 3 minutes this time?
Yeah, first and lines. At the end of the day, it's an offside call. So there's no, what's the word? There's no kind of, you don't have to think, is it, isn't it? What's the line? Just put the line out and you'll see if he's offside or not. Why does it take so long?
I'm waiting for a reply on this from someone, but I just... The angle that they actually end up going with is from a camera that's in the main stand.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware that we even had any cameras. Like, maybe it's a goal line camera. Maybe. I don't know, but I really didn't know that we had any cameras up that end. But thankfully, the right decision was come to in the end. I mean, this is honestly, all fans were singing how bad VAR is, and it absolutely was. But thankfully, it was chalked off, and you know, Bournemouth then continued to do what they did for the you know other parts of the first half, with you know Semenyo like running down the left and driving a shot at goal that Martinez did well to palm over the bar. That was superb from him.
He's a top. I mean, whether you agree or not, obviously he's been recently voted the world's best goalkeeper. And he is a top goalkeeper. And what I like about Semenyo there, by the way, is obviously he comes in a lot. Right, he's happy to have a shot on his left. Don't bother him at all. He's just as good. But that was a really, really good save because it's hit with a lot of power. But yeah, Martinez was different. Unfortunately, we've come up against Nick Pope and Martinez in consecutive home games, and they're two of the best goalkeepers in the league, I'd say. I don't think it's been because of horrific finishing. I think we've come up against a couple of good goalkeepers. And that evens itself out by the Sheffield game. Their goalkeeper gives us a goal.
And
so it just happens.
And they're both coming away like highly commended by their fans for giving him in the game, which shows you...
Yeah. Last two home games, they're now both oppositions man of the match, so their goalkeeper says it all. But yeah, it was nice to just... It almost felt like it does do that, doesn't it? A goal disallowed, it makes you feel like you've just got away with something, and it gives you like a second wind, if you like. And that's what happened, and we went straight on the front foot again. Semenyo, as I say, but Christie as well. Just that bit of skill he does down the right.
He sort of reminds you know when Lloyd Messi? Kelly, you know when Lloyd Kelly had the armband, and then when he didn't have it, it almost was a weight off his shoulders, and he could just play his game a little bit more. It's almost like because Christie's been brought back into the position where I've said this on previous shows, where he doesn't necessarily have to contribute to the stats, the data, the goals, the numbers, the assists.
I think it's bang on.
He's playing with a new lease of life now. And I mean, the bit of skill on the right-hand flank that gives Dom a chance. It wasn't a dissimilar chance to Dom's in the second half where Tav squared it. I think it was similar the way that Dom approached Martinez. But that keeper kept them in the game, didn't he? But the way he managed to get past him was easy.
So good. And I think Dom's clever again, getting in them gaps. Like you said, in the second half, he does the same thing. Dom's very good at knowing where to be in them positions. And it was a great move. I actually thought from where I am that Christie had a shot. And the keeper saved it, but obviously played a lovely little ball for the dog.
But you know, that was part of a 30-second period of play where we lost the ball back, but then we win it back. Lewis Cook with a little flick. Then the ball...
Clive is there again, by the way. Is that little right? It really is. Because I thought it might take him a little bit of time to kind of adjust to that position. But he seems like he's playing that 10 role perfectly. And as you say, we had another chance where Semenyo slashed it across.
Solanke's sliding with close. Gascoigne in Euro 96.
I think even Tav comes in round the back, and Tav probably, if Tav stays wide, he might even get on the end. There was some great football again, mate. And as you said, you bang on with a Christie shout, because I think he is taking that. It's not that he obviously wants to contribute, and he obviously will continue to contribute and he gets an assist, but it just takes that little bit of pressure off him that everyone goes, but if you're playing as a 10, you've got to start scoring, blah, blah, blah. And I think there's an added thing. You mentioned the Kelly thing, which I think was true as well. I think you can also say the same about Dom. So Dom looks better now. Dom's already scored more than he did the whole of last season, right? I think Dom feels less pressure because he knows there's goals from elsewhere.
Yeah,
he knows Semenyo's going to pitch in. He knows Tav is. He knows we've got Cliver and Binning off the back. And whereas last season, if I don't score, we're in trouble. And I feel that's another player that's doing it. And that's what's helping at the moment. And even
the mental responsibility is definitely off him.
And even Lewis Cook's now thinking, I can do this because Christie's going to help me. He'll be next to me running this socks off all game. It's brilliant. And Christie's shot after that, I mean...
So is there anything that Ryan Christie can do? He can go round a player. He can tackle tough. I mean, score, we'll talk about that another time. But he can pluck the ball out of the air. I mean, a long ball, and then he just plucks out of the air. And then plays a mouth-watering through ball to Cliver, who should have done better.
He should have, but that is why Conza's a centre-half.
What a tackle.
What a tackle that is. I mean, for as much as he got tore apart by Semenyo all game, that was a match-saving tackle, really.
Astounding.
Unbelievable tackle.
I thought that Cliver actually...
He should have hit it earlier.
Multiple times, I just thought his sort of last touch... Mm. He maybe didn't anticipate them being somewhere behind him, or it's just last touch.
One touch too early
sometimes. Sometimes, but... I mean, my God, so good.
Yeah,
so
and good. And it was just absolutely brilliant from Christie again, wasn't it? And then, I missed it. But I think just before half-time, they had that kind of... It just showed it now. I think it was Douglas Luiz, wasn't it? Just hit a shot. And to be fair, now he should say that, but he palms it away nicely. And
And they win that free kick after that, but in the end, nothing happens with the free kick. There's a melee on the air, which I don't think should have actually been a free kick. I think Neil said that on the vlog.
A couple of players run into each other.
Semenyo just happened to be there, and all of a sudden he gives a free kick for it, but the free kick in the end came to nothing.
Semenyo gave a few free kicks away, didn't he? Got to look at that, because I think if it was the other way around, we'd be saying they should go down 10. I think we've got away with it a little bit. I think
I thought the amount of yellow cards.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Let's just take a look at the match timeline actually, because it didn't seem like that kind of game. Look at that: Kluivert, Semenyo, Torres, Zaniolo, Sinetti, and then start the second half, Ryan Christie. I don't think it warranted six yellow cards in the first 60 minutes of the game. No way.
It didn't, and I thought the first yellow from Semenyo, I didn't realise he kicked it away.
Yes.
I didn't realise at the time, so I thought that was harsh. But if he's kicked it away, that's definitely yellow. And his shirt pull that he does, where he tugs him back, that's a yellow card.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'll see that every single week. When a player's on a yellow, the ref never wants to give it. It's never a yellow card. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's... Listen, it is a yellow card in the laws of the game. But I think, it's not. It's not like he's two-footed someone. We got away with it, let's be real. And I think, as much as I quite like Villa, and we've got loads of new Villa fans, feel probably due a decision against Villa after the old goal line rubbish that they had over us. So we'll take that one, thank you very much. But I think there's actually one later, which we can talk about now while we're talking about yellow cards, that people didn't realise. And on BBC Sounds, Cherries Unpicked with Jordan Clark and Chris Temple, they mention it because of their view that Milos Kerkez could have got sent off. That yellow card he gets, as he gets subbed, he goes under his head. And what Chris Temple learned afterwards, or said afterwards, was apparently there's a rule of a soft headbutt is only the yellow card.
Right.
So a bit like, did you see Carlos Vinicius against Kilman?
Yes.
So if it's just a lean in, it's a yellow, so that deemed that Lewis Cooks was not a soft
one. Exactly. Temple does allude
to. But Kerkez, I didn't realise at the time, he goes in with his head, and we're lucky that they don't go on the floor.
Yeah.
Because he could have, it went to VAR, and apparently Chris Temple was saying that's a red card, he headbutted him. And with no other left back, that could have been a problem. Fortunately, it wasn't enough power, apparently, that it was only a yellow. But that was one that not many people have noticed, and Chris pointed that out. So, yeah, got a few little bits there that was, I think, we deserved. We definitely were due the rub of the green a little bit, and our performance definitely deserved
it. Well, speaking of Milos Kerkez, he was pivotal in Dom Solanke's goal to put us 2-1 up. I mean, not only does he win the header, there's a long ball out and he comes from nowhere. He then carries on his run, picks up the ball and keeps on going. And then, you know what? I said on the vlog, Bolton vibes.
Yeah,
Callum Wilson's ball vibes. He turned his defender in exactly the same way, but really good ball through to Dom Solanke. And that's a player that's confident there.
Yeah, and the finish reminds me of Brentford.
Yeah.
Was it Ben Mee's legs he put it under?
Yeah, yeah.
He's literally, I don't know if you saw it, he'd done the little video with Glenn Murray talking about his goals. And he says he likes that finish where he took, and then he reversed it back through the legs.
Yeah.
And he's done that perfectly there. Really, really clever finish from Dom. And yeah, Kerkez I didn't realise at the time that he won the header and then kept going. But that is, as I said, rightly so, we can criticise their equaliser that Kelly probably didn't let that happen, maybe. I don't believe that Kelly does what Kerkez just did, because Kerkez's better offensively. And in the end of the day, it was a goal each, so you know, it is what it is. But really, really pleased for Dom there. And then
he has another chance a bit soon after with Tav going down the right wing.
What's
funny that, like, I don't particularly think Tav's that quick. He's not like rapid.
I think he's got good acceleration.
He has got good acceleration, but I wouldn't say he's like the fast, but he does it like almost effortlessly down that right hand wing.
I think what he does is, because they know he's left footed,
he wants to come in.
They think he's going to come in, so he kind of gives them the eyes. And I'm just thinking, I'm behind that, and I just think all you got to do is put that Dom's foot in. Martes dives the wrong way and he just sticks a bloody leg out. That was the moment, if you look, and the period where we went 2-1 up before they equalised late on, we should get the third.
Yeah.
Really, really frustrating. They obviously had some chances.
They hit the post at one stage, didn't they? I think it deflected off who? Sinesi was it?
Yeah, Duran. Yeah. He'd just come on and he hit a pop shot. And to be fair, it's a good block from Sinesi. It's Neto's obviously planted, but luckily it goes off the post for us. And you feel like when you're in that sort of game, you miss a few chances, you think, oh no, is it going to come by us? When that happens, you go, no, it's our day.
You've earned your life.
Yeah, it's our day. And I really thought it was going to be. And then we kicked on again. You thought we're still going to get that third. And I think it was a cutback down from Billing was trying to get, because Billing and Sinisterra come on. Yeah. And I thought they had a few little moments down that left side where they they caused him a few problems. I think Semenyo had kind of ran him into the ground, and then you could bring them two on.
Those subs were so obvious, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were absolutely,
you know, I think I said on the vlog, yeah, like, it's going to happen. Not least because they have the yellow card situations as well.
I just
didn't want anything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then I thought, this is what I said about, this was always had potential of happening when you get a few injuries. We only signed one left back. Lloyd Kelly's a centre half, remember, he's playing left back. So we've got one natural left back in the football club. When Kirkus has to come off, he would have brought on another. He would have brought Lloyd Kelly on, obviously, if he was fit. He would have put Smith there and played Aarons if he was fit. We haven't got another left back in the football club. Kirkus had to come off. Everyone in there said, if Kirkus has to come off, what are you doing? You have to bring Mepamondaya. So I don't disagree with the decision. He had to come. Unfortunately, Mepham showed that he's not a left back there.
Was there an argument that you could have not gone like win with wing-backs?
Yeah, potentially. But what you got to remember is Tav come off shortly after, didn't he? Did he come off just after the goal? He did, didn't he, for Ouattara? So I think Tav's race was run, if you like, and I thought that would have been us kind of almost putting a left back.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't mind it, and you've just got to, you know, and you're also thinking the RB's just come on that right-hand side, and I know Mepham's not liking him, but you think fresh legs on him might be handy. Unfortunately, I think Mepham's kind of, as you'd expect from him, because he's centre-half, quite narrow in the build-up play. He's kind of next to Selassie. They play the ball out wide, he's not quick enough to get out. But listen, he still has to put a pinpoint ball in, and Ollie Watkins has to deliver an unbelievable header, and that's what he does. And I said to you, mate, I think Zabani has ended up getting it on Twitter. Bournemouth man of the match has gone with Zabani, and I'm really pleased for him, because I think when you play so well offensively like we have been lately, you forget. And Zabani was mustard, and for 89 minutes, one of the most lethal strikers in the Premier League was pocketed by Zabani. But that is the difference in the Premier League. You can play that well. If someone like Ollie Watkins gets a sniff, that's an unbelievable header.
Yeah,
it really is. He means it. It's a great header. I feel for Meps. I really do. But listen, that's not on him for me. That's not on Andoni for me. That's on the fact that we're down. We get a few injuries. Unfortunately, it is what it is. Mm. It's a bit of a shame that Kirkes, it seems like it's cramped, so he should be all right. Yeah. But a little bit concerning that a teenager can't seem to last the night. He gets a bit of cramp there. We got a busy period now without Roy Kelly. We need Milos to be able to do 90. Yeah, hopefully he can.
That's good. I mean, this is going to be an intense period of time where we're going to have to use our squad. And I'm really interested to see what you do on the preview show tomorrow, where we provide the lineup predictions, obviously. I mean, but the fact that you get 11 out of 11, mate, this week, I mean, maybe that will happen again.
I'm definitely going to do at least a change, because I know what everyone's saying, but I just think, and then you go to Old Trafford, I think the injuries we've got will be in Andoni's mind. You've already got to see what happened to Adam as soon as he come back, what happened to Scott, what's happened to Aaron, blah, blah, blah. You've got to manage, and that's why you've got a squad. And as he said at the start of the season, especially with the wide men, you know, they're probably going to get an hour. And so there's only an hour and a half hour. So if someone like, I'm not saying he will be, just say, for example, Semenyo, everyone will go, wow, he's been brilliant. He'll still probably get half hour.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got to use the squad.
Yeah,
we can't
rest him.
And we have got good, I mean, listen, but Phil Binning is on our substitute bench. But he has not turned into a bad player.
No, he hasn't. But one thing I do think is the intensity does drop when Phil comes on.
A little bit, yeah, yeah.
And that's one thing that I could kind of, not upset me, but frustrated me a little bit. But then, having said that, he's pivotal in creating a big chance for us as well. And I think, actually, you can see by the average positions from us that actually when he did come on, he was one of the most advanced players on the pitch, I think. As you can see, we're going to show the substitutions now. And there you can see him down that left flank there. And, you know, good shape from us, by the way, again. Really good.
I love that centre-half, by the way, of Zabani, as I said, pocketing Watkins, and Selassie like coming out and just being
that
a little bit more positive.
He was doing that so often. And I thought sometimes, like, is this... Some referees, I thought, might be like, he's done that too many times, that probably wasn't a yellow, because he was getting right in their arse, basically. Yeah. And he was sticking his leg out and stuff, but he was being physical with it. But all that does is, like, teaches a lesson to the striker.
Yeah.
And just says, no, like, you're not getting past me. And any time you do get the ball, I'm not going to give you a second.
Yeah. When Zaniolo in the first half tried to get it off.
Really effective.
Yeah, he couldn't cope with him. So, yeah, no, really pleased on the old mate. And, yeah, I kind of agree with what you say. I didn't think any of this was done badly. It was kind of one of them things. You kind of would have wanted to make no subs. But, obviously, you've got to in that sort of game. But I think, I think we'll use the squad a little bit. And I think we've got a good squad. I think we've got a good... You know, that sub bench was strong. We've got a fair few injuries. So, yeah, we're in a decent spot. And I think you've got to remember, people like Sinisterra ain't doing nothing wrong. He'll get a chance this week, I think. He'll get some minutes. So, yeah, it could be... Listen, it wasn't long ago we were saying, well, Christie can't be in our team. and now we cannot drop it. Same with Semenyo.
Yeah.
You know, this happens. Periods, and at the moment, Billing's having that period. He will be vital this season.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This will happen. Players will come in and out of the team. I think Dom Solanke, maybe Zabani aside, I think people will come in and out of the team. I think that's... Even the goalkeepers we've had to do it with, you know what I mean? It will happen. And people be in that form.
I suppose the concern is what would happen when Dom's injured and... Because he's so difficult that maybe stick Semenyo up there.
Well, maybe
Sinisterra on the left hand side. Or
yeah, exactly.
He's
and we've got
the net,
and so. We've got not too obviously a lot of games, but you know that January window is around the corner. You could see that we were trying to get Daka.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the Daka, but I'm just saying that we were trying on deadline day. It just didn't happen. So that I still think personally, I think Kiefer Moore will go out alone and we'll get another striker in. But because I don't think you want to move Semenyo out. Equally, said about Sinisterra, Semenyo's got good African combinations, as has Vatara, as has Hamid Traore. So Sinisterra players like that are going to get more opportunities, mate. And we're forgetting about David Brooks, by the way, who's still a quality footballer. So loads of options. And it'll be interesting to see what we do in the week because Lerma, I bet Lerma's going to be surprised when he starts in that middle of the pitch. He goes, what's Christy doing around me? Christy's going to be nibbling at him. He ain't going to like that, mate. So yeah, it's been good fun.
I think he wanted to stay. I think Jeff wanted to stay.
Yeah,
I think. That's what I reckon.
Would he get in the team?
Would he get in the team now? So we've spoke recently about the amount of shots that we've had in recent games, you know, going up, and it felt like it was quite a lot again. This is the shots chalkboard that you can see on screen. According to Who Scored, we registered 15. Now, obviously, this varies because, you know, a few block shots. Yeah. I mean, I said it on the vlog, but there was even a chance where the ball was played to Cliver at the back post and he hit his shot into the ground. And he really should have done so much better with that. It was in a, I would say, on the XG, however that works, it would have been right up there in terms of chance.
Yep.
You know, probably better than like when Semenyo's shot was blocked by Martin.
I know what you mean.
It was a really good position. He just hit into the ground. It didn't even trouble the keeper. But we are producing. So the official match stats as well from AFC Bournemouth as well. This gives a few from there.
So
not really target, good. Five off targets.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely brilliant, mate. I've got a little... I'll give him a shout-out because it's a great little to reply to one of my tweets. Jim Meaden on X said, to put into context, over the past three games, we've had 57 shots at goal, 29 on target, and two of those games were against top six teams.
Yeah.
It's good. And listen, well, I think it goes against it, which is a good thing because of how good we were against Sheffield United. And considering they're obviously bottom of the league.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting against, say, a team like a Palace, is will we have as many opportunities because Villa and Newcastle in particular are going to leave more gaps. So that will be interesting. But counterpoint is that we did it against Sheffield, who didn't. So, and I think...
How do we play against Palace then?
It'll be interesting. But I think we showed against Sheffield that we can actually do it with the ball as well, which is really good. And I think, you know, a lot of people saying, oh yeah, but Newcastle were depleted and oh yeah, it's only Sheffield United. What are you saying about Villa? Because Villa are fourth in the league, one of the most on-form teams, doing well in Europe. They're the favourites to win the Conference League. So, you know, you can't... And I'm not being funny, but Newcastle, said about all them injuries. Since then, they've gone to PSG and nearly won, got a draw. Yeah. They've battered United twice. Yeah. They've beaten Chelsea 4-1. Couldn't be us.
Couldn't be us. And you know what? Usually, that match would be top of match of the day too. But
we had no chance, did we, the goals?
No, we didn't. Look, I mean, there's no Premier League show this week, so there's a fast turnaround. But these were the results on the Saturday and the Sunday. Yeah. I mean, 3-3. And then a 4-3. And then even a 3-2.
Hello. Did you watch it? Did you watch Match of the Day today?
I'm halfway through it.
Okay. Well, it was unbelievable viewing. Like, the games were class. I mean, even Fulham, who I've been kind of saying, could they get dragged in? They were brilliant at Liverpool, and it was just some, you know, Trent masterclass, mate. He was unbelievable picking up in the middle of midfield. And then obviously the Chelsea-Brighton game had a bit of everything. The City game was a joke as well, but it was nice to... They didn't even really talk about Villa. They didn't go on us too much, but they went, we're going to focus on Bournemouth. They talked about Semenyo.
Oh, yeah, they did, yeah. That's
they said about how they've been patient now, and is you know, the way he's playing kind of coming to the fore now. So that was really nice to see, and... Yeah, it was just, you know, I just was buzzing to watch it again. I'm so happy we got a midweek game because I'm just loving it, mate. Whatever happens, I'm just loving what I'm seeing at the moment. I mean, we've just conceded in the 90th minute and I'm happy, mate, because this is what we were promised and it's starting to come to the table now. And let's see what happens. But playing some really good stuff.
It's clear to see that we are a different beast this season. What about the man of the match, Tom? Who did you give...
Right,
so in the stadium, it was...
Tavernier.
Which,
I got it.
He didn't. Yeah, he did well, but...
Oh, God, I mean, I literally, I was thinking about it again. If they'd give it to anyone, I'd have gone fair enough, because everyone was good. So I wasn't, like, against that, but so he got it in the stadium, obviously. We said Zabani got it online, which I also thought was a shout. Yeah. I've changed my mind 3 times. Right. So when I was in the stadium, I thought, oh, I'd have given it to Semenya, actually, because I thought he caused him so many problems. Then after the game, I went, actually, I think Zabani deserves the credit. I thought it was brilliant. And now, I'm going to Ryan Christie.
Yeah.
Ryan Christie, for me, that little thing they did on the Bournemouth, it was like 3 minutes. It's just unbelievable.
I need to see that.
So I'm just going to go Christie, but honestly, you can make a shout out for anyone. And then we're not even mentioning people who were good. So, you know, Senesi, you're not really getting any. He was bloody good. Smith was bloody good. Solanke in the line was brilliant.
Who'd you give on your telegram?
I think I kind of said that it was, I got the Tavernier one, like I said, but I would have said, Christie just, yeah.
Do you want telegram?
Just every time, then, yeah. Yeah, if you don't know what Telegram is, it's for the monthly, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the ones that really help out with, you know, just so we can do all this crap. Yeah. And so we just do little bloopers. And then, and I was doing the little player ratings kind of the day after, the morning after the game, just because reflect on a little bit.
Should we put one of them up?
Gandhi, mate, Gandhi. Oh, what? Like
put one public so they can see what. So that means you have to cut out all the swear words.
Oh, yeah. We can maybe do it after Palace if you want.
All right, after
two
Palace.
Games this week, we'll do it after Palace. Yeah,
we'll do it after Palace and we'll make it a public YouTube thing.
Why did I choose one where I'm going to be shattered? Like Wednesday night, next morning, I'll be like,
Or should we do it after we win?
Next win, I'll do it. We'll do it after Palace. I will give Lerma a rating.
All right, stats-wise, man of the matches and all that kind of stuff.
Score. Who do I think?
Statistically.
I just can't remember him losing. It's got to be Christie. Semenya's going to be up there, but I think because of the way he plays, it's got to be Christie.
It is. Right, Christie.
Ooh, get in there.
8.7.
Well, Perkins is up there as well.
Yeah, there's some really good ratings there. 7.4, yeah, like you say.
Look at Zaniolo. 5.9, terrible he was. They interest me. I think
Coles are actually got 7.8.
Yeah, which is strange actually. That I wonder, because like we always say about this is stat based, the XG on Kluivert's chance and him making the tackle, that probably.
Yeah, probably. And I got Ollie Watkins, by the way.
Yeah, because he gets that goal at the end. So yeah, it is very very stat based, obviously. But yeah, I mean, Christie was a joke. Haven't really mentioned Lewis Cook, who was good as well, by the way. I just realised then we haven't really talked about him because. And that's a compliment to him because he's just doing that every week now. So just loved it. Maybe made the 4 subs, which is I feel for him because it looks like that's where it went downhill.
It's so good. It's so good to actually be proved right. No, not proved right, but just...
But yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, like when you can see that something has got such potential and it's not working, it's almost like soul-destroying. Like we know this guy's a good manager. Yeah. We know he can do bits and... Now we're seeing it. Thank God. And, you know, also it's nice to then stick it in the faces of Wolves fans that are going on social media about our amazing Gary Neil. And he's a great manager. But it's just nice from our perspective to actually be vindicated in our decision to, you know, upgrade. Change. And I do want to say upgrade in the nicest possible terms. I think that Gary probably has a possible ceiling. With Andoni, I think the ceiling's higher.
I'm happy to say change. Rather than upgrade, to be honest with you.
No, I'm happy to say upgrade.
Fair play, and I do agree. I'm just trying to... I think that actually, in a weird way, if you look at the two squads,
perfect,
I think Gary O'Neill was more suited to Wolves than Andoni would be. Yeah, because I think Gary O'Neill, Wolves, has got Kilman, Dorsey, he's got good, really good defensive structure. They always have been like that.
Probably upgraded.
Yeah, in a weird way. I just think, like I said, everyone kind of last year was going, well, why would you want to change manager? Because he had to play that way to keep you up. Agreed. I think that from Bournemouth's point of view, I can't speak for everyone, I think the players we had, so you're looking now, Semenya, you're looking at Tavernier, you're looking at Solanke, blah, 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 Billing. I felt the best attributes of our squad were offensively.
Yeah.
So why are we playing that way when we've got the tools to go at teams? So I felt we needed a manager that is a bit more of that style.
Yeah.
And it's taken a bit of time, but I think that's being proved the case now. We are not good enough defensively to do maybe what Wolves do and rely on transitions and counter-attacks a little bit more. Wolves have shown that they're suited to that because they've done it against Man City, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So it's working for them. I know they are a bit of a sticky patch, but it is working for them on the whole. And we're both very, very close in the league. you know, we're literally kind of, if we don't give them a goal in the last minute, level, really. So, yeah, I think both teams will be absolutely fine this season.
By the way, there's on Wednesday, I'm not sure if it's Wednesday or Tuesday now, but there'll be a piece from you on the BBC website. What topic are you going to go on this week, do you reckon?
Well, I think...
Because there are so many different talking points.
Yeah, and in a constructive way, not in a negative way at all. I think we've got to talk about the, I think it's 13 points, I'll have to double check that, that we've lost in winning positions. And I think there's everything's very positive at the moment, and rightly so. But it's just something I noticed, I thought, because it was a late goal again, I suppose it comes to the forefront a little bit. And I just think, I just want to delve into deeper about, is that luck? Is that quality of opponents? Is it we're playing such high, aggressive, pressing football? Are we tiring? Are the subs not to the level? Are we sitting a bit deeper at the end? Yeah. Little different bits of bobs just want to look at and just kind of go, but on a positive, if we just sort out the last bits of games, we can start climbing, mate. We really, really can. Mm.
Yeah, we're closing the gap, though, on the teams above us, which is the main thing. And hopefully, soon, we will start rising up. Look, it's been a pleasure to have your ears or eyes on us for the last, whatever it was, 55 minutes. We truly appreciate it. And if you've appreciated it, then you can help us out by liking the video, subscribing, and also if you want to contribute financially to us to help us buy new equipment and all our monthly fees that we pay for graphical services, podcast hosting, website hosting, all that kind of stuff, then hit the Ko-fi, afcbpodcast.com/coffee to find out what we do, what we spend it on. It's /support. And on our website, by the way, there's loads of stuff that you can look at. Tom's been great.
Yeah, it has, mate. It really has. It's just been great. I thought today, I thought, they're going to do the second. I look forward to it because just love talking about that sort of football. It's football I love to watch. Everyone's a bit different, but I just love seeing that. And if you're going to if it's going to mean you draw 2-2 with Aston Villa at home, then I'll take it every day of the week, mate. Tough week ahead. Palace away, United away. However they're doing, they're tough games to win. So let's see where we're at after that. But really, really looking forward to it. I might even pop down a development game as well because I just want the football. Bring it in. Rock and roll.
Yeah. Anyway, other cherries. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye-bye.
It's a cheeky one. Square!
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.